This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Now, the unemployment figures for January have just come through, and they do show again, as expected with those budget figures recently, that unemployment continues to creep up. It's up 0.3% from 6.1% in December to 6.4% in January, and that is the highest unemployment rate since August of 2002. So that headline unemployment rate just coming through of 6.4% for January, which again only highlights some of the concerns that many of these power workers would have in New South Wales post this partial privatisation of the poles and wires. There's no doubt jobs could go, and there is the potential for industrial action over this and also some pay claims. Steve Butler is the Secretary of the New South Wales Electrical Trades Union, and he's on the line. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Stuart. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Firstly, if we can deal with the pay and the perk side of it all, it's 8% over how many years?
The claim we've put on the organisation is 4% per annum.
Okay, yes.
Over a two-year period.
So it's 8% over the 2 years. This guarantee on what's described as a range of generous perks, what exactly is the guarantee you're after?
All we're saying is that what exists now,
yep,
we're seeking to keep in place.
Right.
We're not asking for
anymore.
Any new provisions. Yep. It's simply what's there. And, look, there's a reality that there's a long line of provisions that have probably served their time, as you know, and they can be looked at in the light of this agreement. Dirt money and that sort of stuff has probably not been claimed for years and years, probably a decade. And we're comfortable in looking at those things, but it's a fairly modest claim. Last agreement, we claimed 5% per annum. We settled for 2.5%. It's a negotiation.
And so you think in this case that might be a similar scenario? Because I noticed Andrew Constance basically saying you won't be bullied into this, that 8%'s way over the odds, or 4% per year, and that he won't accept that.
Well, we've written to the Premier and said that the 4%'s a starting point, and that we're prepared to negotiate, as we always are.
Yeah.
You know, there hasn't been industrial action in the electricity industry for over a decade in New South Wales.
So how realistic now are those threats of potential industrial action by your staff and your workers?
Look, as far as we're concerned, the percentage increase is important, but the issue about job security is the one that is much more important.
Yeah.
And what the companies and networks, New South Wales, and by default the government, are seeking to do are to make more uncertain the future of workers post any privatisation than it presently is. And what we're trying to do is to make sure that the opportunities for people to continue to work, if they so choose, in the industry, are real and available.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I have some sympathy with you on all of this, because we know if you've got a job at the moment, things aren't too bad with interest rates falling and the petrol prices being certainly lower than usual. But, as I've just mentioned, those unemployment figures just coming through from January, unemployment is creeping up, and suddenly if you're without work, as some of these workers are looking at, then it's a difficult situation you're facing. And what's it going to mean potentially for the network and the ability to maintain the power on a regular basis to what we've become used to?
Okay, what we're looking at with the government's proposal is the likely reduction in the workforce of around, worst case scenario, 4,500. Or around 40% of the workforce.
40%?
If that number of the workforce disappears, then you'll have extended periods where people won't be able to get anyone to come along and fix their blackout, their connection problem, the issues they've got with electricity. And we see this in privatisations all over the world. Numbers of employees go down as a result of that. Profits improve for the new owner, but reliability of the network and response times drop dramatically, and that results in a huge increase in complaints. And you can see all those figures. You can run a graph over those figures at South Australia and Victoria.
Oh, look, I've spoken to people who work with Ausgrid, and they say, you know, you get days of big storms, high winds, lines brought down, problems like that. Under some of these proposals, it'll take longer than it does now to have that sort of work rectified. Because if you're being called out in the middle of the night to live power lines, trees falling down, bad conditions, pouring rain, you deserve some sort of compensation for that, don't you?
Well, that's certainly what we've negotiated. These things that we've got in our agreement have been there for 25 years. When Nick Greiner was the Premier, these things have been in the agreement since then. But that's what people, I guess, need to recognise, is that when there is an incident, when there is a storm, when there are problems, then Ausgrid workers are rung at 2 a.m. They get out of bed, their families, go out and work in particularly difficult and at times dangerous
conditions. Yeah, exactly right. I agree with you. And we can look at the pure economic benefits to this of a partial privatisation. I think there is a human cost, though, in some of this that can't be ignored. We saw a massive union turnout at polling booths across Queensland recently in their election. Is your union and others planning something similar here in New South Wales?
Absolutely. We've been involved in a campaign, Stop the Sloth, for some time now. It's starting to get a lot of traction. We're out, spreading the word and the door knocking. I think door knocking last weekend, we had 140. This weekend, we hope to have a couple of hundred people out knocking on doors. And a lot of people don't recognise or understand what the government's seeking to do, that they're seeking to privatise, sell off something that we own for an amount of money that will be used on projects that don't make any money, and we sell the crown jewel of the state, and it makes about $1.7 billion. It's one of the biggest earners in the state, and we're looking to sell that off. And, and the government have been talking to China. I'm sorry to say that, but it's the reality. And the reality is they're looking to sell this off to a multinational overseas company, and we know that China and Singapore have bought the Victorian and South Australian networks. They've lost jobs. Young apprentices don't get a chance anymore in those organisations, and the price of electricity has gone through the roof.
Yep.
The collateral damage.
We can look at the economic benefits as they are, but this human cost concerns me. Look, appreciate your time and wish you well, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
Yeah, Steve Butler, he's the Secretary of the New South Wales Electrical Trades Union. There's a bit more to this than simply a WestConnex and a few other projects that might come from the sell-off of that power network. And I think we've got to be very, very careful about trying to build in some guarantees in terms of jobs into the future.